The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It is NFL Draft Day. It's also the day that the Avengers debuts. And James Bond is coming out with a new movie. I'm very excited about that. 007 has his own Twitter handle. That's a good day, man. It's a really good day. Welcome on in. We will have Goody at the movies with us today. We may have some people from Nashville, but wanted a lot of space today because there are things to get through and talk about. I'm sitting here today believing that this is the biggest day in the history of the Cardinals organization outside of the Super Bowl. Whenever the Cardinals hire a new coach, yeah, it's a pretty significant day. The problem is they've hired two of them in the last 2 years. Actually, in the last, what would it be, counting Arians and Wiz, four coaches in 8 years? I think that's right. Four coaches in 8 years. So like the average lifespan of a coach with the Cardinals is 2 years. I know that if you're a Cardinal fan, you're very excited for today, and you should be. Today is a day where you could go a bunch of different directions. I did some radio shows this morning, people around the country wanting to know when you have a first overall pick, what is it that you're going to do? And I always am of the opinion of doing context rather than cheerleading. There's no reason to sit here today and say, our boys are going to get it done. Do I want the Cardinals to do well? Sure, I do. Am I going to rip them tonight in a column if they take Kyler Murray? No. Am I going to rip them tonight if they trade Kyler Murray? No. There's not a reason to really be critical of the Cardinals tonight. They're the ones that earned this number one spot. Follow me on this. They worked hard to be 3-13. They did. They screwed up on a coach. They screwed up on a coordinator. They screwed up on a quarterback. All in the last calendar year. So when you have that many mistakes and your general manager gets an extreme DUI, it's not like everything is turning up roses. And, oh, by the way, you're in a division with the Rams who built up and Seattle who retooled with an MVP quarterback. And the 49ers had a lot of injuries last year, but Jimmy Garoppolo is now back. And John Lynch is trying to build a contending roster. You're in the NFC where there's teams that are kind of going one way or the other. Yeah, Green Bay, for example, is a team that's teetering and going the opposite direction. The Giants have been a team that have gone the opposite direction. They traded OBJ. They have an aging quarterback in Eli Manning. You know, the Cowboy fans will always say, we're ready to go. We're the greatest. We're the Cowboys and all that nonsense. And every year you either lay an egg or you don't make the playoffs or you barely make it in. Today, you're all, it's like spring training with baseball. Everybody's believing that this is the day. If the Cardinals pass on Kyler Murray and they take Bosa and they have a very good defense, then people are going to say next season, wow, the defense is really good, but Josh Rosen, man, we should have taken Kyler Murray. Some of you are just so dug in and in love with Kyler Murray. Others of you, I think, are of the opinion that, you know, Josh Rosen's not half bad. If we look at what Josh Rosen went through in the last couple of months, not many guys would want to stick around to be left twisting in the wind. But taking this on a business side of things, if you tell Josh Rosen, yeah, I'm not trading you, and Josh Rosen tells his circle, yeah, they're not trading me, and their circle tells everybody, you see what I'm saying? So they've had to play this out. And they've had to play it out in a way that's been so public because it is the first overall pick in the draft. Those of you that think that this is easy, if I gave you a dollar and said, go to the vending machine at your work right now, chances are you'd stand there for a bit, even though you have enough money to go get Junior Mints or a granola bar or Twizzlers or whatever it is, and you have to struggle to make the decision. It's no different than the Cardinals. There's no way, from my understanding, and anybody who says that this is what the Cardinals are going to do, I don't believe that. But I'm only going off of agents. I trust agents. There's no reason for an agent to try to use us for their own agenda. But they're of the opinion the Cardinals are split. The Cardinals won't say that they're split. No matter who they take tonight, the Cardinals aren't going to say that they are split. They're going to say this is the guy that we wanted all along. We had the first overall pick, and we believe this is a real difference maker. The problem that's going on with the Cardinals is Patrick Peterson has shown up this week as a fly in the ointment. So I wasn't here on Tuesday. I had some doctor stuff. But Eric, you were out at the Cardinals on Tuesday, and the Patrick Peterson stuff went down at the same time. So from my view, it's somebody with the Cardinals told Patrick, or Patrick went in and said, what are you guys doing? This is what I want. This is what I hope you do.
I'm going to correct you. I was not at the Cardinals Tuesday.
You're not at the Cardinals.
Jordan was. I was at the Suns, though,
yesterday.
You were
at the Suns. That's because we
had all we transition into really less entertaining things, we can talk about the James Jones press conference.
Really? Bad? Okay, I got you. Okay, so Jordan was out there.
Jordan was out there, yep.
My mistake. But from your view, because I do believe you know this is to be true, or I know you know what's going on out there. Patrick Peterson, somebody had to have said to him, this is what we're going to do with the draft pick, and he just didn't like what he was hearing. That's how I read. 2 days before the draft, he goes crazy on his social. All these former disgruntled Cardinal players go crazy on their social. Yeah. That reads to me totally that he got some news that he didn't like internally.
Kent Summers tweeted something yesterday that I retweeted, that his source said that someone close to Patrick Peterson essentially said that Peterson's pissed off, but it could be repairable, whatever was said in conversation.
I think we're at a point with him that he's got to go. I know that he's very talented.
It's kind of sad, but I tend to agree with you.
I know that he's very talented. But look, we had the stuff that happened during the season. And the Cardinals are not going to the Super Bowl next year. I don't know. Devin's rolling on the show. It's not the biggest shocking announcement in the world. This is a time where you should, if you're going to rebuild by moving on from your quarterback after one season and go take Kyler Murray, why would you not trade Patrick Peterson?
And some of the best organizations in football and really in any pro sport know exactly when to trade someone or to release someone or to not re-sign someone before the decline hits. And the Cardinals might be at a point where Patrick Peterson is, yes, he's at the top of his game, but in a year and a half, how far will he slide down? Because he's not young. I mean, Pat P's been in the league since, what, 2012?
2012. So, but here's my thing on it. He is like the Patriots gave up on Chandler Jones. So there was some stuff going on with Chandler Jones. It was just kind of goofy, kind of weird off the field. And the Cardinals end up making one of the best trades in a long, long time in the entire National Football League.
Yeah, I think that was Steve Keim's best trade.
Yeah, sure it was. So there's teams that screw up on it. Richard Sherman and the Seahawks, it got messy. He left. He went to San Francisco. Did it work out for the Seahawks? They were just fine last year. Mm-hmm. They were just fine.
Yeah, the Seahawks are so good, they rebuilt within the season, which is really hard to do.
Right, right. So I think what comes in play tonight, like, guys, we're going to cut a fresh TV show tomorrow. We're going to be here tomorrow. We're usually not here on Fridays. We usually run the TV show. But because there's so much going on around the Cardinals, we're doing a fresh TV show for Fox. The Cubs are in town. It'll be great to be on before and after the Cubs and the Yankees over on Fox Sports Arizona. So we have this number one overall pick. We have this Josh Rosen thing hanging around thing. We have this Patrick Peterson being disgruntled situation. There's assets that are here in Arizona. Josh Rosen's an asset. Patrick Peterson's an asset. Could it be that they step back up and say, yeah, we just got a little sideways? I don't know. It's the second time that's happened. I just feel as though you can only go so far with guys. If you don't want to be here, I don't want you here if you're going to be nothing more than going on Twitter and having former players talk poorly about the situation here. There's every reason to be harsh on the Cardinals. There is. You know, the cheerleading and afraid to take on the Cardinals and Suns in this town is embarrassing at times. It's just embarrassing. And so this is a day where we could be sitting here tonight with three big moves that were made. Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen, and Patrick Peterson. Or we could be sitting here with just Kyler Murray, and Josh Rosen's going to be here next week, and we're going to have this whole nonsense going on in the offseason. If I'm sitting here tomorrow talking about how they passed on Kyler Murray, I'm probably going to be in a really good mood. Probably going to be. And Kyler Murray's played for a total of one season in college. And he's not the biggest guy. It just takes one hit. And they have this makeshift offensive line. I don't want to hear the nonsense about how, well, look at what they did in free agency. They paid two guys north of 30 to try to plug a hole, which has been the problem with this organization. They have a right tackle that has just not, or left tackle that has just not produced, came in as a right tackle, has not produced consistently. They have a second-year center because their center last year blew up in August. Knee blew up in August, so in late July. So you can't tell me that this is all laid out to be draft Kyler Murray and suddenly everything is right. Everything is great. And what's awesome to me in this market is there's so many other things going on right now. There is. So while this is a big story nationally, the number one overall pick in the draft, it's for all the wrong reasons. It is. Anytime a team's like, oh, get behind us. Like the Suns did that nonsense last year on their social media. We're so excited to have the number one overall pick. Really? Really? You're excited to stink so bad that you're going to have the number one overall pick. Like fans really shouldn't be happy about tonight. If Kyler Murray is the end result, and you had to sit there with Josh Rosen, who I think many of you are split on Josh Rosen. Opening commentary brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And when we do that, we do it with life insurance. So I'm wearing my Sagicor shirt. I meet with some people, talk to them about their life, where things are going, where things are heading. Yes, you can buy life insurance. You should have life insurance through Sagicor. You can do annuities through Sagicor. But we also do, I like to sit with people and do life planning. Where are you going? What are you leaving things to? What's your legacy going to be? When's the last time you thought about that stuff? Hey, Brad, I'm invincible. I'm going to be the one that gets out of here alive. Okay, really? Are there some people you'd like to leave things to? Let's talk legacy. There's lots of products at Sagicor. There's lots of things at Sagicor. And I just kind of like sitting down and getting the knuckles dirty on life. It's kind of fun. Protect what matters most. Log on, get your free quote at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. I saw Goody the other day. I was at the Avengers Endgame screening. I'm going to give away some spoiler. No, I'm just kidding. The boat sinks at the end. How's that for a spoiler? Bill and I are going to talk about that. Bill also wrote a very good column criticizing the Cardinals ownership and the Suns ownership for all the nonsense going on in town. We'll get into some of that on the other side. We may go to Nashville. As the show progresses, there's some guys on the ground there, some media guys that we're trying to track down just on what the vibe is like. But today's just a day to riff a little bit. You can follow me over on Twitter at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. We are on Facebook. Sports360AZ is our Twitter handle as well. That will be very active tonight. Eric's going to talk later in the show about what he is doing tonight, which I think is a cool story. And Devin and Jordan are working on some products too that we'll talk about. Stay with us. All of us like it when there's a story that's got a happy ending to it. When it's a tragic ending, it's tougher to deal with. And as we're sitting here going through the day, I don't know how this is going to go for Sean Miller today. I'm going to get to that in a minute because during the break, I was checking in on what's going on in the trial and what happened yesterday, what's happening today. And it's really interesting what's happening with Sean Miller, the U of A coach. I have no agenda. I have no vendetta for those of you that are Wildcat fans. Just get off that. He's in the middle of something that's pretty serious, very serious. And so anyways, I'm going to get to that in a bit. The Suns. So Monday night, I get a text from Eric. This is how we communicate in the world of communication. We don't pick up the phone and call and say, hey, so I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about doing that. It's like, what was it, 9:45 where I get a text from you saying,
I think it was like just before 10 o'clock and I was just about to turn, you know, drop the laptop down and head to bed. And I saw something on Twitter from someone that said something about Igor.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, why is someone on a Monday night at 10 o'clock tweeting about Igor and the Suns. And so then, you know, I scrolled down my timeline a little bit and I was like, oh, yep, okay. Yeah, and the way, like you said, the way it works is group text, yep, I got the Igor thing.
Or, I'm doing this.
Yep, I've got this covered. I got the GCU new basketball hire and one of us writes about it. And I'm sure because I didn't hear back for you or Jordan, I was just like, they probably have zero idea what's going on at 9:58 on a Monday night. So
then it comes out that he's out. And I mean, seriously, at this point, anybody who's outraged, like, come on. Are you kidding yourself? You're putting negative energy into Robert Sarver? Are you serious? I'm actually okay with this if you don't think he can coach. I'd rather, Eric, them say, we did a Steve Wilks. I mean, Earl Watson was a Steve Wilks, right?
But the way it was handled, Steve Wilks was let go when Steve Wilks should have been
let
go.
Right, not three
you know,
weeks
what is
after
it like? What do they call it? Black Monday? Like the day after the regular season? I mean, poor Igor, the season ends and, you know, we're in the playoffs or almost through the first round. And
almost
oh,
May.
By the way, hey, we're going to relieve you of your duties.
It's just, there's, if you've been in this business long enough, or you watch what we do here, or you follow it, you guys follow it, you see what's going on. Like, this is so Donald Sterling when I'm in San Diego as a 19-year-old. He's making Paul Silas fold towels after games are done. Well, he coached. Hey, Coach Silas, can I talk to you? I have to put this load of laundry in, and then I'll come over and talk to you.
So bizarre.
Right, and so... So in Robert's world, it's and he's a really smart businessman around town. There's people around town that will say and swear that he's a really smart businessman, and he is. He's figured out how to take a brand, make it suck, and make it so profitable. Like I was with a guy having lunch yesterday, an executive in town. He says, I bet those other owners are just embarrassed. Those other investors are embarrassed. What are you talking about? Robert's made them gobs of money. Of course they're going to say outwardly, oh my gosh, I can't believe what's going on. Oh, wait, here's my statement. I did. Hey, honey, we've not just quadrupled our money. Yeah, I'm so embarrassed. I'm humiliated. Sure you are. Get out of here. What are you talking about? Like, Robert's going to sell the team. Okay, so James Jones, I like James Jones. Do you like James Jones? Are you big on James Jones?
I don't know yet. I mean, it's still a work in progress.
Now you're sounding like Tuesday kind of soured you a little bit.
Well, it was yesterday. It was Wednesday. But, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Wednesday. Okay, so Wednesday.
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, if they hired Dave Griffin, I would be really excited because Dave has won an NBA championship. Dave has ties to the Valley. Dave knows how to attract big-time players to venues where people don't always want to play. I guess, I don't know. And the one thing I noticed, and if you want to completely shred me on this, please do so. But I was
Let me get back to Dave Griffin in a second.
Okay, well, I was talking to someone who follows the Suns very closely.
Yeah.
Very closely.
Media or?
Kind of a media person.
Oh, former media?
Yeah, former media person who's very well connected to the organization.
Talented, gifted.
And I mentioned to this person, I said, nitpick me apart if you'd like, but James Jones, for the first time as general manager of the Suns, showed up to his press conference in jeans, tennis shoes, and a Suns windbreaker. I remember the first time Ryan McDonough met the media. He looked like he was about to get married. It just, sometimes it's just how you portray yourself in public.
This is interesting.
I don't know why I really
He looked like a player. He looked like a player.
Well, that
picture.
Wasn't yesterday, but he just had on like a Suns like running zip-up jacket, a pair of jeans, and a pair of tennis shoes.
Maybe he was dodging Robert.
And I'm just like, you just fired your head coach, and your franchise has a huge credibility problem. Wouldn't you kind of want to say, hey, James, why don't you put on a golf shirt and a pair of khakis and some loafers?
Okay, let me go back to you on this.
Okay. Am I completely crazy for thinking, you know?
Yes.
We all talk about dressing the part.
I feel as though they could show up in flip-flops and shorts, and I don't care if they get it done. Now, the problem is he hasn't done anything yet, right?
Nor has the franchise.
Nor has the franchise for years and years and years. My first problem is this story came out Monday night. The story was confirmed by the Suns, which at this in this day and age, confirming is just like it's so old 1980s, 90s journalism. It's confirmed by the Suns Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning.
So the first time we hear from anybody with the Suns is like 36 hours after this has come out. Again, this is how this franchise has been operating for the last 10 years, which is just ass backwards stuff. If you truly care about your fans and you truly care about your season ticket holders and you truly care about your sponsors and you really do understand your place in town, you are so out front on this, which is how they used to be. They used to be very much out in front. And what did it get them? It got them goodwill, first and foremost, with media and fans. For those of you that are in the fake news world, turn the channel, okay? Just please go away. If that's where you are on this whole deal. I'm not one that sits here and handles people that just fall back on fake news, fake news, fake news. The Suns are awful. They're an embarrassment. And if you're trophy guy, I guess you got a check for being trophy guy. If you're the timeline guy, which there was people down there that were shoving that nonsense down my throat and shoveling it with hip waders on, the timeline, the timeline, the timeline. Where did that go? James Jones needs to be, it's not even his fault. Somebody needs to sit him down. Okay, Eric, I'll play along with you. If he comes out in a golf shirt and handles himself in a professional manner, what is so unprofessional about showing up in a windbreaker? It does look different. I get that. I'm not so concerned about the perception.
And he did. To clarify, he did act very professional.
Sure.
He did speak like someone who has been a GM for many years, answering questions by not answering questions, evading and being somewhat, you know,
cryptic.
About topics that he just didn't really want to talk about. So he does have the media part down, and he did as a player too. James is a really smart guy.
We like James Jones personally. Do we think he's in over his skis? What you're intimating there is just, it was his first big moment and nobody sat him down and said, you can't go out like that, right?
No, I mean, we hadn't heard from him publicly since he was named the general manager.
Right. So it's his first time out. It's, this is how I'm operating. Which is a lot better than some of the guys that they had rolled out and talking about their fiduciary responsibility and all that nonsense. Lon Babby was just like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? They let go of two longtime employees last Friday, a week ago Friday, that had been there a long time, that people are calling me saying, can you believe that this happened? And that? So it's just, I don't know, it's just business as usual down there. Until Robert gets some things in place and gets a guy in place and disappears. And that leads me to David Griffin. So we had Jude on last week, and Jude had intimated, Jude LaCava from Fox 10, and I trust Jude, that David Griffin had met with Robert Sarver in Florida for 3 hours. And in that meeting, David said, be very interested to talk to you, but you have to get out of the way. It didn't happen. Whether he would have come here or not, I don't know. But I do know this. Griff took the job in New Orleans. I've corresponded with Griff through the years about coming on this show, and he's come on a couple of times, but more often than not, he wants to stay out of the spotlight out here in Phoenix, and rightly so. David's show on NBA radio on Sirius XM was must listen to most every day. Most every day when Griff was on there, it was like, huh, I so badly want this guy here. So instead, what does he do? He goes to New Orleans. Of course he does. And why does he go to New Orleans? Well, let's connect the dots on this. Alvin Gentry's down there. Alvin and David worked here with the Suns. Rich Paul's the agent for Anthony Davis. Rich Paul's the agent for LeBron James. David Griffin worked with Rich Paul in the LeBron James deal. So Griff shows up and does his opening stuff down in New Orleans and talks about mending fences, building bridges, whatever it may be. And I don't know if he's going to be able to save the Anthony Davis thing or not. But the bottom line is he chose New Orleans. And maybe Robert didn't want any part of Griff here because it's another person that's linked to Jerry. That is still a thing in this town. It is still a thing behind the scenes. If something is linked to Jerry, or somebody is linked to Jerry, for the most part, it's not going to happen. Robert's not going to take it in. He'll deny it. I mean, he's got his guys that are going to sit there and say, I don't know how they do it other than where the decimal point falls in their paycheck, how they can sit there and protect him from himself. So they have we have another coaching search going on. Monty Williams' name is really interesting to me. Monty Williams was well-regarded, well-respected, and then his wife was killed by a guy on meth. And he went into a rabbit hole, which I don't know about you. I would go into a rabbit hole. He had to go find himself. I have not read the story yet where he just really opened up. It may be out there somewhere. He's presently with the 76ers staff. Well, people are talking about what's a better job, the Lakers or the Suns, or writing about that. No, let's just look at the backstory of this. This is a guy that bottomed out personally by losing his most loved person. And now he's trying to come back, and he was a good coach beforehand. And what I want him here alongside of James Jones, there's worse opportunities for the Suns to go, worse directions for them to go. If James Jones didn't believe in Igor, then just punch Igor's ticket and get him out of here. Now, I had no problems with Igor other than there were games where it just looked like Devin Booker wanted to do whatever Devin Booker wanted to do. And in this town, we have some fascination with a kid scoring 50, 60, 70 points and losing, rather than Damian Lillard getting 50 and falling away in a playoff game. Please go score 50, 60, or 70 in a postseason game just once and win, by the way. And then I can get excited about a player and say he's the next this or the next that. When there's whispers that he doesn't really play hard and he just plays when he wants to and he's got control of the situation, maybe, and I've already said this on this show, I don't believe he's going to be here for another contract. I really don't. So there's all sorts of intrigue going on with the team down on Jefferson Street, even though it is their offseason. The playoffs ratings are horrible. They're down 20% with no LeBron. They're compelling, and yet we, for another year, don't have the Suns here. That's 9 years where kids, if a kid was 5 years old and had an interest in basketball, now he's 14, he hasn't seen a playoff game in Phoenix, which is only going to help get him more interested. Robert, you've done that. Congratulations. Knock yourself out. We'll have more on the draft and then Goody at the Movies after this timeout. While we're sitting here on the air today, we'll have Goody in about 10 minutes. The trial is going on, and Adam Zagori, and this is Sean Miller being in play. This is in New York City in this corruption case involving college basketball. There was a video that was played to jurors Wednesday showing an aspiring agent bragging about his relationship with the U of A coach, with Sean Miller. Defense attorney Steve Haney said he will ask the judge to reconsider a ruling preventing Miller from testifying. That was yesterday. As of we sit here right now, Miller has not testified. What is being talked about right now? And again, Adam, we've had Adam on the show before. He's really good. Sean Miller said he, quote, took care of everything, according to this agent, in regards to DeAndre Ayton, to get Ayton in place. Now, taking care of everything can be construed a lot of different ways. It doesn't mean he was given money, but now we have Tony Bland on the stand talking about Marvin Bagley and this agent, Christian Dawkins, who's saying all stuff about Sean Miller, quote, this is the type of dude that if we get him, everybody will follow. No evidence shown that the Bagleys ever received any of the $13K given to Tony Bland in this case, but he said on video he needed money to facilitate the recruitment of Marvin Bagley to USC. Boy, I'm shocked by all of this. Just stunned that now USC is in the middle of this. There's videotapes shown to the jury involving cash transactions with coaches in a Vegas hotel room in the summer of 2017. This has now come out today. There's video. He's shown an FBI video wearing a Creighton t-shirt, putting an envelope of cash into his pocket in a hotel room couch. This is an assistant coach wearing a Creighton t-shirt. More videotape evidence. And I could go on this. So while today is NFL draft day, and it's a big day for the Cardinals, it really is. As the day progresses, if Sean Miller goes to the stand today, to me sitting in this chair, and seeing the face of what's going on in Arizona sports for the last 25, almost 30 years, It's the biggest story by far. Go take Kyler Murray. If Sean Miller is finally forced to testify today, and this stuff that's coming out as we're sitting here speaking, it's huge. But for now, the draft, and we'll have Goody here in a minute because Avengers Endgame starts tonight. So what are you doing tonight on the draft? What is your angle? You've got a party that you're going to. Eric is the party guy. When it comes to NFL drafts, Eric, for some reason, gets these invites to these really cool events. So tonight, your cool event is?
Well, I'm not going to be partying. I'm just going to be a part of a party.
You're going to observe a party.
I'm going to document Byron Murphy's draft night.
Yeah.
Maybe nights, but let's hope it's just night, singular.
So here's the thing. As you're watching the draft, root hard for Eric Sorensen.
Yeah. It'd be great if Byron Murphy was the third overall pick tonight for many reasons.
Because last year, you tell the story about last year.
So last year, I went to Christian Kirk's watch party on a Thursday.
At his house. Parents' house.
At a
friend's
neither
house.
At a rented house. A lot of
oh,
these,
rented house.
Yeah, a lot of the high-profile picks
yeah.
choose to rent a house to host the party
wow.
for the weekend.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you have to dress up?
It was much bigger than my house and your house combined.
You're not going to show up in a windbreaker, are you?
I'm not. Nope. Last year I was hot.
Yeah.
I like really dressed up. So this year it's going to be a nice golf shirt, pair of slacks or jeans, and a pair of Vans. Just like
Vans.
Last year I was like really long sleeve shirt.
Vans.
And, yeah.
Do we have any fashionistas out there that can help Eric?
Why?
I don't know. Vans. I guess Vans are cool.
Very nice.
I guess Vans are cool.
Dress very nice.
All right, so you're at Christian Kirk's last year.
I was. So Thursday came and went. He did not get selected in the first round. And Christian, being the stand-up guy he is, said, hey, no problem. Everything happens for a reason. I'll see you guys here tomorrow. And voila, he got picked early in the second round by the Cardinals, and you know how that story ended. So.
Were there more people there on day two at that party? Do you remember? Was it about the same?
A little bit less.
A little bit less, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, these parties have, I would say there are probably over 100 people at Christian's.
Okay, so Byron Murphy has a party tonight.
He does.
You're going to be at this party.
Yep.
From what we hear, first round, late first round, mid first round, somewhere in there. But guys always drop.
Yeah, I would think he's going to be anywhere from 16 to the end of the first round.
So if I'm texting you around 8:30 saying, how's your night going? And he hasn't been taken, you know I'm just giving you crap.
That's okay. It's fine. I mean, and Saturday I'm going to be with Emmanuel Butler, the former
NAU that's cool.
star.
That's neat.
Who went to Mountain Point and hit that day. I mean, I'm probably going to arrive when the draft starts Saturday at 9 in the morning. The draft is scheduled to go until 4 in the afternoon. And, you know, like we saw back in the day when Jared Cohen covered DJ Foster, DJ was not drafted.
Yep.
He signed with the Patriots minutes after the draft ended. But that's the great thing about some of the later round. You just don't know. You know, Emmanuel Butler could be a fourth-round pick. He could be an undrafted free agent. I think he's going to get picked.
If he goes Friday night, we'd all be stunned, and there's no way that he goes Friday night in some people's views. But you never know.
You never know. He goes Friday night, it's just one of those things.
We missed it. It's fine.
Because we have to be at the Cardinals. So.
Right. No, Jordan was going to be at the Cardinals tonight. I haven't decided yet. I can go to the Cardinals. ABC 15 asked if I'd go to Nashville, and I'm not doing that. What is the point? And I thought about going to a movie theater tonight, like at 5 o'clock, and just talking to people that are in line to see Avengers Endgame at 5 o'clock and say, don't you care about what's going on with the Cardinals? Just kind of a different view. Because it's going to be, the intrigue will go through it, but there's other things going on, like Endgame, and we'll talk to Goody about that next. It is a big day on many fronts across the fruited plain and worldwide. It's the NFL draft. It is Avengers Endgame. 007 had a Twitter handle that popped up this morning for the new Bond. We have this Sean Miller maybe having to testify today at this bribery trial in New York City. Goody wrote a column about how awful our owners are here with the Suns and Cardinals, which is great. Here's Goody now. Bill Goody Kuntz. Chief film critic for AZ Central and Gannett, and media critic. On this draft day and Avengers Day, what is the bigger story to you?
You know what the big story is to me right now?
Yeah.
I think you'll get a kick out of this. But as soon as we're done, I am outside the home of Kent Dana, the longtime anchor for various TV stations in town. I'm going to do a little story. I'm catching up with him on what he's doing.
That is awesome. Bill did a piece on Mary Jo West a while back. Many of you have not heard of Mary Jo, and some of you have, but it was some of your best work. I think it's cool that you're finding these people. I actually have a name for you off the air that I'll share with you. I've been wanting to share with you for about 6 weeks that you should do something
on.
I will.
We've got to get to it. The bigger story is the Avengers. I mean, because of what? I mean, what's a great audience for ESPN in the draft? And I think it will be a good audience. It'll be their best audience of the year. But what are they going to get? 10, 11 million, something, you know, like that? If it's good. A gazillion people are going to go see the Avengers. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen. Some of these theaters are going to show it nonstop, 24 hours a day for the next 3 days.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. And, you know, it's the fact that it's on ABC, the draft, ABC, ESPN, NFL Network. That, to me, still won't even come close to how many people are going to line up to watch this movie.
Well, and you know what you're going to see, because ABC also, Disney also owns the Marvel franchise now. So look for a lot of Avengers commercials tonight during the draft.
That's true.
I mean, it's just a platform. It's just too good. I'm, you know, I am terrible. You give me $100 and I can show you how to lose 99 of it right off the bat. But even I can figure out that that's too good of an opportunity to pass up.
All right. So you and I saw Avengers together. I walked out of there. The person I was with, my better half, my spouse, she cried. She was so happy. She was sad. She was angry. She was laughing. She had all these emotions. I was, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. That was me.
I was in between. I didn't cry, but I did. If I were a better man, I could have cried. I'm far too cynical these days to do that. I thought that it did what it needed to do. I don't want to spoil anything. I was surprised at how heavily the plot weighed on a couple of characters who we had not seen a whole lot of before, but I was happy to see. I thought that was great. I thought it was. I think it had the same problem that the last one had. There are too many stories. And when there are that many stories, separate stories that you have to bounce around from, inevitably you're going to like one more than you like the other. You know, you're going to have favorites, and so occasionally it's like, oh, are we back on Asgard? Come on. You know, it's like, can't we get back down to New York or wherever we want to be? But I think if you were a fan of these, how are you not going to like it? And you're probably going to see it 10 times. I think this thing is going to – I think they're going to print a new form of money, and it's going to have Robert Downey Jr.'s face on it probably.
Why has he resonated so much through these movies, do you think, Bill?
Iron Man's a key, but Danny's he's a really good actor. I saw a thing the other day where they said, and this is great, I saw an interview with him where they said, do you wear anything under the Iron Man suit? And he said, cash.
That's good.
He makes, like $20, $30, $40 million for each of these now. You remember in the 90s when Schwarzenegger was making so much money that they couldn't pay him in money anymore. They started giving him private jets and stuff. I think that's how Robert Downey Jr. is. But no, I think that he was the one, after all, Iron Man is the one that kicked this spate of things off, right? And I think it was one of those things where it's like, we got a serious actor taking this on, doing a really good job and taking it seriously. And I think that set the tone, and people did resonate. They responded. It resonated with them. And so I think that's, you know, that's the reason. That's why.
So you're in between on this like me. I have not read your review. I'm thinking if we're giving stars, 3 for me, 3.5 maybe?
It would be 3. But actually, Cary Engel is going to review it for us. I'm working on something else about it. But and he gave it 3, so he's right there with you. I would probably give it 3.5.
Yeah.
And this happens every time. If you look around at Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, you see some people that are going to hate it because they hate it.
Yeah.
You see some people that are going to love it because they love it. Oh, you know, this is the greatest thing. I think that this is the kind of movie that if people care about what critics say anymore, this movie probably shouldn't be reviewed for about 2 weeks after you see it. to sort of let all that stuff wash off, you know?
But here's the thing on that. While I agree with you, there's no way. This movie, guys, is 3 hours and 5 minutes. 3:05 or 3:15, depending on which PR person I spoke to, right? So
buy a small drink, I would say.
Yeah, a very small drink. And that actually came in 5 minutes before the screening and said, if you need to go to the bathroom, go do it now. You don't want to get up during the... And it's one of those, I can't find 3 hours plus that I can devote to something. Maybe that's where I'm at. I thought the stories were fine, but it was long, Bill.
It was too long. But if you're one of these people that is devoted to this, and again, you know, as I've heard some other people say, there's a generation of people who go to movies who have never been without this. And I mean, to them, it's not long enough. Now, you know, I did see a great story the other day online that tells you when are the best times to go to the bathroom during. that's a great idea.
That's great.
And there were a couple of times in there where I could have, but I do think, I'll say this too. Unfortunately, it does end in yet another one of those incoherent Marvel battles where you can't tell who's fighting, much less who's winning. And it's just so gargantuan and gigantic. However, and again, I don't want to spoil anything, there are a couple of moments in that battle that one particularly that speaks to the current political moment, I think, that are really nice.
Yes.
And, you know, and I don't want to give too much of that. No. But again, that's at the end of 3 hours. So you got to kind of scan your brain. It's like, now, when was that? That was that.
Right.
There's a lot that goes on in this movie.
No, the moment you're speaking about, I was struck by that, too, actually. It was one of the first things I told my wife and the reviewer. All right, before I get you out of here. So the draft, it's going to do its own thing. You wrote about the owners here in town. Why don't you run through that a little bit?
Well, it wasn't the owners so much. It's just like Phoenix is now the center of the sports world, right? You can't turn on talk radio without hearing about Phoenix. You can't turn on ESPN without, you know, people talking about Phoenix. The problem is it's for all the wrong reasons. It's because we stink. And it's just, you know, it's, I don't know. I just think it's
the incompetence is staggering. The incompetence here in town is staggering with ownership. It just is.
Yes.
It's just staggering.
And evidently contagious. You know, and I think I wrote this in a column recently. I don't know if you remember the short story when you were a kid, Flowers for Algernon, and they made a movie together called Charlie. And it's about this kid who has a really little IQ, but he's a young man. And they give him this operation, and it makes him brilliant for a while, but it wears off. And it's really sad and everything. But that's sort of what the Cardinals are to me. It's like, the Suns are just a disaster. But the Cardinals, you know, they did that thing where we knew they were bad, and then they got good, and then they got bad. And that was fine. But the Suns are infuriating because they don't seem to be trying to make it better.
Well, here's what's infuriating, Bill. I'll bring it right to you, okay? Robert Sarver used to pick up the phone and call and scream and yell or march down and threaten to pull advertising around town. I've heard he stopped doing that. And so you bring out the sledgehammer, which is the right thing to do, and it just doesn't matter anymore because he's in a space where he's making gobs of money, and any criticism doesn't impact him. He doesn't care.
Doesn't have it. It reminds me of that thing you used to tell you when I played football. It's like the coach said, don't worry when I'm yelling at you. Worry when I stop.
Right. Right. No, that's what's going on here in town. That's what's going on here in town. It's the incompetence is just mind-blowing, and he doesn't care. And when people say, well, I bet his partners are embarrassed, his investors are embarrassed, no, they're not. Every 3 months they walk to the mailbox, they open up their statement and say, wow, look at my return on investment.
I love the guy if I'm getting those checks.
Sure.
That check cash is whether the Suns win or lose.
And they've been doing a lot of losing. Hey, go do Kent Dana. Tell him I said hello. That's a great, great person to go get, and look forward to seeing that. Stay well. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, you too. Talk to you later.
He's good at the movies and other stuff. He's on this thing now. I've noticed with this new publisher at The Republic where they're focusing on people from the past and putting Bill in that space, which is fine. They're actually giving Bill all sorts of different things to do, which is great. He's too talented just to – nothing against movies, but, you know, I had other movies I could have talked to him about today. All right, so here's the deal. This show is done for today. However, we're going to come back tomorrow after the draft. We're going to do a show. I thought about doing a pop-up show tonight. I just don't want to hassle with it. So we're going to come back tomorrow. I don't know how many trades are going to have. My belief as I sit here is it's going to be Kyler Murray. I wish it weren't. I wish they would trade back. I wish they would accumulate more assets. Peter King is going to be with us tomorrow to react to what happened tonight. So go enjoy yourselves with the draft. Our Twitter tonight, the 360AZ, at Sports360AZ. Devin's going to be on that doing a lot of stuff, social stuff. Eric, Jordan, myself. And we're just going to have fun with this. I mean, this is not brain surgery, although for the Cardinals it may be. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.